Peter Tiemann is with us recording all today. It's Rauma Omahara this Saturday, the official day to mark the New Zealand land wars, as well as the anniversary of the signing of the 1835 Declaration of Independence, e Whakaputanga. That was central to Te Paparahi o Taraki report, which was released at the end of last year, and detailed the findings of the Waitangi Tribunal's inquiry into treaty breaches, land loss and military action suffered by Ngāpuhi between 1840 and the 1900s. Thank you for joining us on the program once again, Peter. It's been a while since we've had a cordial. Ngā mihi.
It sure has. Tēnā koe, good morning.
Tēnā koe. It's great to hear your voice again. Okay, well, is the report as good as we are going to get, do you think, Peter?
I think the report that, but and by the way, it's imminent to be released in early December. So this is the Waitangi Tribunal Stage 2 report, Part 1, and it's been coming out in parts, but it's due to be released in, I think it's December the 9th. So we're looking forward to the return of that and doubling down on the report for the Stage 1 Waitangi Tribunal report that was held in 2010 and 11, and finally the report was released by the Waitangi Tribunal in 2014, upholding the case that the Hapū of Ngāpuhi have never ceded sovereignty to the Crown. So when you look at the release of 2014 and now December the 9th, 2023, the draft report says things and makes recommendations that whenua land held by the Crown be returned to Māori, which is a significant recommendation in itself.
Tēnā koe, can we discuss, please, Peter, some of the implications the report has had on treaty settlement negotiations?
Yeah, well, what underscores what the Waitangi Tribunal have consistently been coming out with is that Te Tiriti o Waitangi was signed by Hapū, and therefore Hapū should be the bedrock of any treaty settlement. And hence why, well, we know what happened to Tū Horonuku, and now we have clusters of Hapū who have approached the Crown, including Ngāti Hine and others, to say that we are a collective within the Confederation of Ngāpuhi, and we will approach you and settle our own treaty claims.
What discussions have been taking place as recommended by the tribunal between iwi and government into constitutional makeup and processes regarding the report?
Certainly the group that's been leading it has come from within the national iwi chairs, and that's the likes of Margaret Mutu. It was, well, and Bill Hamilton as well. And previously, there have been others, notably Moana Jackson. So at the very sharp end, that conversation is continuing with the government, and the National Iwi Chairs Forum provides a really good mechanism in which to hold those discussions. With the change of government and we're waiting for the dust to settle on the special votes, let's see what happens with this new government continuing on with those conversations.
Tēnā koe, Peter. A ceremony to acknowledge the prowess of the Tuai Māori Battalion and its war efforts is also going to be celebrated in Kaitaia this weekend. It's actually planned to coincide with the anniversary. Are you attending? What can you tell us of that gathering?
You may be talking about the one that's being held at the Waitangi Treaty Grounds at the Whare Runanga, which is this Saturday, the 28th of October. It obviously coincides with the day that He Whakaputanga was signed in 1835. And notably, the 28th of October is also synonymous with the 28th Māori Battalion. So the unclaimed medal ceremony will be held at the treaty grounds. The pōwhiri will be at 11 a.m. And there will be a medal ceremony for those who will be there to pick up the medals in a ceremony that were never provided to those who served this country. So we're really looking forward to that. And, and to see the last remaining Morehu survivor of the 28th Māori Battalion, Sir Bob Gillies, seeing him there will be special in itself.
Tēnā koe. And while I've got you there too, please, Peter, any updates from other matters regarding Ngāti Hine from your workbench?
We're just really got our heads down, concentrating on key aspects of our people's circumstances, like housing, and all of the key issues that we have been working on for some time, whether it's primary industries, kiwi fruit, and other initiatives. We're in there trying to make a difference.
Tēnā koe. It's great catching up with you again, Peter. Any changed circumstances now that we have a changed government? Obviously, Andrew Little was spearheading negotiations in the previous iteration of government, but not so now. What are you anticipating?
Yeah, well, certainly we'd like to see who the Minister of Treaty Negotiations is when a government finally is formed. Whether New Zealand First is in the mix was still to be seen. Certainly what we know is that the likes of Shane Jones and Winston Peters made a huge difference for us in the North through the PGF and other initiatives. For the treaty settlement, we know that Joseph Mooney was the Shadow Minister of Treaty Negotiations. Whether he actually comes to the top to become the Treaty Minister, we're waiting with bated breath, because we have to work with that minister in earnest over the next few years.